This is Phantom Electric Ghost, and we're on the air with I Am Poison for the first time. Welcome to the Phantom Electric Ghost show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
So we're at episode 909. We're almost at 1,000 episodes since 2016. If you track us on Apple Podcast, that's how long we've been around. And it's just really cool to be out here talking to musicians, because that's where we started. In 2016, we started to interview musicians. We've interviewed over 300 musicians, and it's always cool to, you know, start there. But we also want to mention we do have a sponsor, and we're on the platform called Newsly. So we are a featured podcast on the Newsly program. You can see that up there on the top, says listen on Newsly. Later, we'll be on there. So if you use coupon code GHOST, you get 1 month free premium subscription. So you can check that out. And then later, we'll be on all the other podcast platforms like Apple, iHeartRadio. We're going to give you and your fans a landing page so they can listen to or watch wherever they want to later today. But I always ask musicians, like, when did you first get into music? Now, I don't know who wants to go first, but when did you first think that you wanted to be a musician? Like, what age did you get into music?
Yeah, we didn't plan this thing that we are into, so who gets to answer first or who gets the first speech? I would say that we go one on one for each question.
Okay, you first.
So yeah, I will start with this one. And regarding me, music was kind of a childhood passion and desire, most like from my dad's car, actually, when I was a kid, traveling to school or to practice. And it was the first thing that gets me the vibe of, you know, feeling something energetic and very, I don't know, fulfilling in my life. So one thing led to another, and I got hooked very early and started to experiment with different genres, from writing to producing to recording to basically doing everything in music. In a studio, and that's what at the end brought I Am Poison to life, I think. So yeah, that was my view.
Yeah, actually mine is pretty similar. I guess that my first memories with music are exactly almost the same, because in the car going to school, but with my mom, and yeah, that time was cassette. So I remember we were used to listen to typical Italian music and also something from abroad. And that stuff just hit me so strong. After that, as a teenager, I started to approach music in a different way. So not as a listener, just but also as a musician, a creative person. And we are here right now. I guess the path has been similar for both of us.
You guys call your music like a dark electronic, right? Is that the type of genre that you always liked, or you found that in, you know, currently that's what you're into?
Actually, this is a good question, I guess, because we didn't plan to be together since the beginning. But we actually arrived here mixing two components that are really important about the personalities of us. And I guess that the electronic music, which is something that is more related to, and the dark poetic ways, which are more related to, find a common energy, common synergy. And naturally, the dark electronic came out because we just put ourselves together and we decided to build something that represents both of us. And without one of both components, you know, I Am Poison cannot exist. And I guess it's not something that we planned, but just naturally happened. Of course, the electronic music as well, the dark music, have been always connected to us in some ways, but the dark electronic is something that represents us at 100%, because this subtake two sides of us that are our personalities and put them together. So it's not something that we planned at the table, but it's something that naturally happened. And I guess it's also the reason why we really are proud about this dark electronic identity.
That's really interesting. Like I said, I think before we started, I'm a child of the 70s. I'm a keyboardist. I'm a synthesist. And I like back in 79, I heard Joy Division and I heard like Disorder. And then I heard like Love Will Tear Us Apart. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And I grew up listening to Zeppelin and Hendrix and all that stuff. And then I said, wow, I really liked what Joy Division brought to the table. And then they, you know, the whole tragedy happened with their lead singer, and then they became New Order. And then I heard some, you know, songs like Perfect Kiss. And then I'm like, wow, I just liked the idea of that. And I just got into synths, and I started I like this kind of post-punk thing, because I like bands like The Clash and the Sex Pistols and Brian Eno and Bowie and what they were doing in the 70s. And so I got really into that kind of focus. But I wonder for you guys, what really triggered that? Because, I mean, I kind of grew up in the 70s and I saw this progression of all the classic rock changing into punk and then changing into post-punk and a new wave. But what made you feel that you wanted to get into that?
Into the music sphere or into the particular genre that you are doing?
Well, yeah, what represents I Am Poison is kind of like a dark electronic, which I kind of can, you know, I think I've heard that like with Joy Division or early New Order, Depeche Mode, bands like that. But I grew up seeing that progression. I'm just wondering for you, what inspired that?
As we said first, like the broad definition of dark electronic music came spontaneously, not because we planned to do something specific. Actually, we chose this broad term specifically because it's very hard for us to identify in a specific niche, in a specific genre. We do something that in our eyes is very new, very creative, very alternative to what is a mainstream. And as Federico said, the dark part comes not necessarily from an influence, although we have many, but we have many influences that we picked up throughout the years, throughout our listening experience, and also throughout the research that we did when we started this project. But the dark part of it came mostly from the soul. I Am Poison was born in moments of difficulties and tribulations and struggles. And we tried to blend together all the emotions, all the thoughts, all the experiences that we had, and using the vehicle of electronic music, which again is a very broad genre, is a very broad objective. We kind of developed a unique sound. We have, as I said, we have a lot of inspirations in the electronic music, as well as in R&B music, as well as in more alternative music, like early The Weeknd was a very good inspiration for the atmosphere and the idea, and also the way the topics are presented into the songs.
I think they'll kind of dropped a little bit. Wait a second, you may want to repeat that. Your signal kind of dropped.
Oh, sorry. I will start back to the influences. As I said, we had many influences in different genres that could include The Weeknd, the early The Weeknd, early Emika style. We took some inspiration from Billie Eilish, from Arca, from many underground artists, to not necessarily to emulate them, but just to, you know, pick the sensations that we liked from them and try to include them in our own recipe, let's say.
Well, I think electronic music is a very wide, you know, arena. You know, there's like sub-genres within it, you know, and like I kind of started at the beginning, you know, when I looked at it with the bands like Genesis and Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, because I'm a child of the 70s. It's like, given the fact that you're from a different era, that you have more recent influences, and it's very wide. And even like the early beginning stuff, you know, has, you know, some soul influences, has R&B, has jazz influences, all kinds of things. And so I think the idea, the darkness about it, you know, like, you know, Trent Reznor kind of comes to mind, like, you know, Downward Spiral. That's kind of known as like a dark image of electronic music, if you've ever gotten into, you know, Nine Inch Nails. But there's all different types of perspectives of where you could come from it. You can come from it from a poetic standpoint, from your lyrical content, from your mindset, like you're saying. Yeah. So I mean, it's very wide, and you know, trying to pin people down. Like, I try to stay in a place I call expansive. So I call my sound expansive because I can pull from everything. And so I don't like getting, you know, pinned into one area. So if you say it's expansive, then people can't like, well, what is it? That means it's everything. But I think a good example maybe is to show at this point, show your music video so people can kind of hear what you sound like. And then we can kind of talk about that sound and maybe some other pieces of what you do. But I'm gonna actually start to share that if you don't mind.
Go for it.
Okay, here we go. We're gonna go and play your song, and it's actually Le Effetto. Is that how you say it? Okay, so I'm gonna start that right now. So I'll put you guys on mute, and then we'll come back. But I'm gonna present that. So let me get that set up so you can see it. So that's right there, and I'll put you guys on mute, and then we'll come back after the video and talk.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Sleep. pensar que é tua. My heart is spinning as I come inside of her.
So we're back, and put your mic off a mute. And what I like about that song is like the use of the synthesizers. I'm a synthesis, and I've always liked the idea of the worlds that you can create with electronic music. And maybe that's kind of like the sound painting that you can do with a synthesizer or using electronic music between the bass and the drums. And all the different sounds that you can generate, and it kind of with the video, you can kind of feel it and see it. And maybe you can talk about what I like about the synthesis or electronic music is you can build that kind of cinematic view, that because you have all these choices, you have like an unlimited palette within a DAW or within a synthesizer workstation or whatever tools you're using, and you can just color it with the basses and the sounds and the aggressiveness. So maybe you can talk about how you do that as producers and musicians, and maybe that song specifically, what the vision you were going for.
And you hit the target when you talk about the atmosphere and the orchestration of the use of synthesizer, because I'm a real sucker for bass and depth and epic music. So I'm talking because I am the producer in the duo. So that's what I think that the question was referred to me. So with I Am Poison, I try to bring that part of my character into the music every time. So when we design the soundscape, the texture, the vibe, which has to maintain a clear red thread among the songs, there is always this component of experimentation. I don't know if it's mm-hmm. a word, but
yeah.
You know what I mean? And the main clues for us are deep atmosphere and some hard-hitting drums that will contrast themselves. Like they will serve as the perfect container for the melodies and the airy vocals that Federico provides. So yeah, every time is a journey to make a song for in my opinion, every time. You don't know where to start, but you don't know where at the end the start will remain the same and the journey will not lead you astray, but that's the beauty of music arrangement, I guess.
Well, I always say to people, like, you do what serves the song, right? So as a producer and musician myself, it's like I could start off, you know, anywhere. I could start off on a word, on a pad, a voice memo. I could start off on my Moog. I could start off in the DAW. I could go into a field recording. I don't know, because like different things, reasons why I do something. And what I like about the song you had there was like, I heard a lot of elements, and maybe because I'm going to imprint what I think, but like the bass lines is kind of funky. It's kind of dance oriented, yeah. Kind of synth.
Actually, if I can interrupt you, I know exactly where this song started. and it started from a bottle of whiskey.
That's so, where you started. Not, yeah, well, different inspirations, you never know. Because, yeah, like, you know, you could start anywhere as a creative person.
Yeah.
But like what I was hearing with the bass lines, you know, I'm a big fan of bass. You know, and like I heard like a funk and a new wave and kind of big beat, kind of electronic. Yeah, those type of notes. And then you have some interesting kind of aggressive industrial sounds coming in. Yeah. That are dark, like that kind of dark stuff. And you could say where, you know, you get like Nine Inch Nails. There's a lot of other people that done that. You know, there's a, it lives out there. But I like also the changes in the song. You've got changes where it doesn't just do the same thing. It doesn't just keep on looping on the same clip. You have breaks, you go different directions. You have kind of parts where, you know, some people have kind of lost the art of actually, you know, breaking up songs and having structure because of the nature of today's music. Sometimes they don't do that, and I like that. And it changed where how the vocals laid in, and you had different way, you know, the vocals were a certain type of vocal lead, and then you changed it near the end of the song. You had a different type of approach on the vocals, and so I thought maybe you can talk about how your vocals lay into the whole soundscape and how you approach that as a vocalist.
Yeah, actually, what you said, it's true, because we try to follow the lead of the music also with the vocals. Actually, in the first part of the song, there's more space in the music, so we try to emphasize the color of the voice that is more that requires more space. And in the last part, where the drop hits so hard, where the bass line, you know, does its job. We just try to follow that stuff with some vocals that are more energetic and less focused on melodies. So yeah, I guess that the component of the vocals into I Am Poison Music, but in this song specifically, it's more thinking about the vocals as an instrument itself, which is it has to support what happened in the music, in these electronic vibes. And the approach was exactly that one. We always try to find a good contrast between the light tenor color that I have when I sing and the music that is dark, it's deep. And we always try to create this good contrast between the two opposite, with these two opposite sides of us. And I guess it's a great formula to reach a good result, to give the idea of the deep and the idea of the light voice in the right way, because the contrast can emphasize exactly this. So yeah, the process, it's really natural when we do music, and also when we approach the vocals, we just try to get in the zone, and then everything happens so natural, so without. I guess a good hashtag, let's say, from this song is freedom, and as you saw it in the way how the song has been developed in the structure, also with the vocals, has been free to do for something super hairy, super space that requires super space. The last part just almost talking on the microphone, so. We build everything trying to be as much free as possible.
Yeah, it's open. Like yeah, open.
Far away from, you know, the structure that is a classic radio structure or something like that.
Yeah, well, it's more experimentation. You know, I like about electronic music is the nature of it when it first started. If you think about in the 50s, you know, with the first Moogs, and people didn't even sing. It was just all electronic, you know, instrumental. And people were just playing with sequencers on Model 1s and 55s and whatever. But they were just playing with, like, very experimental concepts. And they said, well, you don't even need a keyboard. At the beginning of electronic music in the 50s, there were no keyboards. It was all sequencers. And so it's kind of come full circle to that today with the DAWs and not necessarily having keyboards, you know, alternative, you know, control systems to actually build rhythms and build structures and build clips. What we see in the DAW structures, and what I like about your song is it kind of follows this it doesn't follow that formula exactly, and the lyric changed and the rhythm was a little bit, you know, it opens up into a cinematic kind of view. And I've always looked at music like sound paintings. And because if you think about, like, you know, the Beatles, they started with this idea where George Martin actually said, I'm going to create sound paintings. And that's what, like, Sgt. Pepper's, this idea that you can layer sound and do something in the studio that you couldn't do as a band, like the Beatles playing live, doing a Help type of version of the Beatles, is not what Sgt. Pepper's or Abbey Road is. It's the studio becomes the instrument. And like you said, your voice is an instrument. And people sometimes, like, don't kind of minimize the fact that a vocalist, that their voice is the instrument. And how you lay that into the whole picture, you know, that's the art of being a producer and a singer-songwriter and, you know, as a writer, that, like, how you actually build that painting, that sound painting or that soundscape. So I do feel the cinematic nature of your kind of your music.
Yeah, actually, I guess that this is really related to the fact that, as I said in the beginning, we are putting on the table the best of us to create something that is unique. And the fact that we try to use, for example, the way how we use vocals, trying to use it as an instrument, and not as, for example, maybe could happen, I don't know, in other genre where the vocals are the main and the production is almost, you know, on the back. But the way how we are doing it is just because for us it's really important to try to put our best on the table to reach something that that's gonna show the vision that we have to everyone. So there's nothing that is more important than something else, but everything is important to create that vision. So using vocals as an instrument, especially with this project in this genre, it's, in my opinion, super important to create the right vibe and to support the electronic music, which is the component that creates that feeling about cinematic vision, as you said before, and also, you know, that energetic vibes inside people. And I guess it's important to say this. So we put our best on the table, try to do our best, and there's nothing that is more important. Everything is important to reach the vision.
Well, it's like you're a duo, and what I see is, like, you're both bringing to the table your best. And I can hear that the vocal and the instrumentation is, like, there's a synergy, right? And so what I like about it is, like, there's a duality too. Because I've heard, like, I'll give an example, and maybe it's not exact, you know, but the idea when you listen to a band like Churches, they have this very optimistic vocal. But when you actually look at the lyrics are very dark. But the way their song is very optimistic. So if you don't really pay attention to what she's singing, you would think it's a happy song. But when you actually read the lyrics, it's not as happy as the way it's carried out. And so what I like about is you have that kind of light in your vocal, but then there's, like, the dark in the electronic. So there's, like, a light and dark is like a duality. It's like a Gemini.
Yeah, that's only in the music. Also, as you said, in the lyrics. Like, yeah. we try to keep this constant contrast, I think, is the right word to describe how we approach the production of a song. So we want a lot of contrast. We want everything to be very defined. If we want the vocals to be high, light, airy, and bright, and the instrumentation to go along with something very crispy, very punchy, very deep. But also, it needs to carry I Am Poison as a message, which is the most important thing that we decided to do as a band, as a duo, as artists, which is to awaken the dark chords in the listener's soul. Mm-hmm. Everyone has these, everyone has a duality inside themselves. Everyone is contains the yin and a yang, for like this for everyone. Someone carries out more the bright part, someone carries more the dark part. But we felt that when we started this project, we felt that there was a need in the music experience worldwide to awaken a deeper side of emotions, a deeper side of feelings that were lacking, especially in the mainstream music. We have mostly something that is either very bright, very happy, very danceable, or something that it's, yeah, maybe a little bit melancholic, maybe a little bit sad, but mostly about, you know, love songs, breakups, and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We wanted to go a bit deeper into the psychology of humans, and we are emotional creatures. And what we want to do as artists is to get to, you know, get the listener to get to know also other side of them.
Yeah.
And maybe it's sleeping, maybe it's there is a tough relationship, but it's okay to accept this, to experience it, because that is the only thing that we can do as humans, is to experience feelings and emotions, and we want to give the whole spectrum of them with us.
Well, I think that's really interesting, because when I got into music, one of the bands I really got into was the Velvet Underground with Lou Reed. And what I liked about the Velvet Underground was they weren't doing love songs. They were talking about like the dark underbelly of New York City, right? And so if you get into the Velvets, they weren't doing what was the hippie culture. It's since 1966, Lou Reed is talking about all these things that are not in pop music at all. And I always thought, and he kind of, what he did, he inspired like the whole alternative movement in the late 70s and the 80s. Almost every band name checked Lou Reed and the Velvets as an inspiration to like say, I don't have to have the boy meets girl, loses girl story. I can actually do other things. I can write other things, you know, and Dylan and other people opened up songwriting so that you could do other things. But pop music tends to want to go for the common denominator, the thing that will sell. And so trying to be a Dylan or trying to do a Lou Reed or trying to do something more advanced typically is not what, you know, people want to do. But you get these outliers where you say, hey, I want to approach it in a different vision. So I get what you're doing, because like music tends to kind of go into these trends and then nobody wants to challenge. And so I like what you're doing, is you're challenging like the light and the dark, the yin and the yang, the duality, which is always more interesting. You know, even I go back to like, you know, my electronic, you know, beginnings are like bands like Yes and Genesis and Pink Floyd. And that's very complex cinematic music. That's what electronic music can be. It can be that deep. But some people will go for the, you know, oh, I'll go for the beat. I'll go for the hook, you know, and then you lose the fact that you can make it a little bit more complex. And, you know, it could seem on its face with a punchy beat, but, you know, if you can like kind of sneak in these other themes, you know, you can weave them as a good songwriter. Like that's what I hear in your songs, like you've woven this complexity into it that people might not even know is there until they really deep listen, and then they'll figure it out. And it's like, oh, and so then you can still, you know, approach it without being at totally avant-garde.
Yeah, exactly.
So every song you do, I would think you probably like serve the song. So, you know, what we showed in your video is an example of what you sound like, but maybe you can talk about, like, do you have a full project, a full album that these are going to be on, or are you working on singles?
Yeah, actually, we create a lot of songs, but we didn't decide to put it in an album or, you know, just give them a specific space. We decide to approach step by step what is gonna happen next, and the idea is till now the idea was to present the project to the audience and people with chapters. Actually, we have been through some covers and some original songs, of course. L'Effetto was the first original song we released, and every chapter has its own story, and we have special memories for each chapter, because as you maybe saw it through the video, we are connected to the fashion world. Actually, it's something really important for us, and every story so has every chapter has its own photo shooting, its own story as a visual as well, and we have a lot of works. We have a lot of songs ready, but till now we decide to do step by step and create a story for each chapter that, of course, in the end would be connected to the others.
So that means maybe like an EP or a long play eventually, but maybe release them as individual singles?
Yeah, actually, maybe we forgot to say something that it's important. We released single as EP, actually, because we did release in a double language. So we decided to try to keep our identity, the Italian one, because we are both Italians. And so we decided to create songs in English and Italian as well. And till now, when we dropped a single, actually we dropped an EP. So the idea of the chapter and story is also because of this reason. And we try to follow the visual and the colors that every song gave us in terms of vibes, of feelings. And so we create this kind of feed between the singles that has specific color for each one. And so till now we just proceed in this direction, but we have a lot of songs and nothing is, we are free, as I said before, freedom is the key word. Mm-hmm. So if tomorrow we're going to decide to drop an album, we're going to do it. If we're going to keep it in this way, we're going to keep it in this way.
Yes. Yeah, well, that
the
song that we make, like each song that we made so far, has a lot of content inside. So based on every song, we can really tell a whole story, a whole world, which would have been maybe a bit lost in a package or in an album structure. So as Federico just said, every song has a story, has a life, has memories, has a place, has a picture, has a lot inside of it. And we try to really present it 360 degrees each time that we release a single.
So it's like a sound painting, sound movie. You know, it's like its own project.
Every song that we made so far has its own flavor, and that is a thing that it's you know, double-edged sword for us, because we didn't approach this this project with the intent of the idea to make it easy for us to make it big, but we wanted to stay true to ourselves, starting from keeping our roots as Italians and opening up doors in the international world, but also as a delivery, from lyrics to melodies to arrangement, etc., etc. Every song has its own flavor. Some are more upbeat, more techno-ish, more danceable, more EDM. Some are slower and more deeper and more melancholic. Some are harsher and more hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a lot of shades in our music, which is, as I said, a double-edged sword, because it's very hard to characterize what I Am Poison is. And that's why we chose this broad definition of dark electronic music.
Yeah, I understand that, because it's kind of when I went with the idea of expansive. Because I wanted to be able to say, like, if I want to channel, like, outlaw country, funk, punk, rock, I can do whatever. I can play all those. So, like, why would I want to just say I'm one or the other? And if somebody happened to listen to one of my songs that's Americana, they would think I'm an Americana artist. And then if they go and listen to a punk song, they think I'm a punk artist. So it's hard, because in the world with A&R, they want to pin you in a box. They want to say, well, what are you? Are you EDM? Are you techno? Are you this? Are you that?
Playlist as well.
Yeah.
Everything, so, has become very, very, very sectoralized.
Yeah, so it's hard if you have a very expansive sound. If you're very wide open, he's like, well, what festival are you going to play? What club can we put you in?
Yeah.
Like, well, this is an EDM club. This is a trap club. This is a hip hop club. This is like, well, what if I could do all of it? So why should I keep myself from going into any of those clubs? Because I think I could play any of them, right? So that becomes a hard thing because people want to, you know, put you in a box. And then like, well, like, yeah, I think the nature of music is a lot of things. Like I grew up with New Wave and I liked the idea of New Wave was it was, you could have a band like Blondie, Talking Heads, and the Ramones in the same club, CBGBs. You had Patti Smith, the Ramones, Talking Heads, you know, all in the same club. And they don't play in television, right? And they all sound different. They didn't sound the same. And like the cool thing was that scene was so expansive, they could have all of them. And so it's like, can we get back to a place where a band like yourselves is like, yeah, we don't want to get pigeonholed. Like we have a unique vision. And I think what happens sometimes is like people hear one song and they think that's who you are. Right. And then they don't get the full picture. And I've always, as a podcaster, I always try to tell people like, if you want to know who a band is, listen to more than one of their songs. Because if you just listen to one of their songs, you're not going to really get the full picture. It's like if you're reading the cliff notes for a novel, are you really going to get the feel of that novel if you don't go deeper?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a whole experience. So I like the idea. You said you're kind of intertwined with fashion and visuals, and I saw that in your videos. So are you making videos for a lot of these projects?
Yeah, actually, we started with, as I said, every song is very full of content. So we made a draft for visuals, for videos, for every song. And of course, we had to face sometimes our limitations, talking about staff, talking about budget, talking about people getting involved. We have a fairly big team that is helping us. We have the management, we have art direction, we have stylists, we have a lot of photographers and people involved in visual art and fashion, because I mean, we are in the fashion capital, we will say, of the world. We don't care about France. We don't care about yeah, but jokes aside, we have a lot of people that are invested into this project, and it's not only us two, even though we are the face of it, of course. So we try to make as much justice as possible for every song. And so far, we have one original that is out, which is L'Effetto, with the music video. We released Apnea prior to the last one that we just dropped, which is Specchio. And Specchio will be accompanied by a music video that is that we are teasing a bit. So we decided to release the song first to get our public acquainted with the song and sound, and give the promotion aspect only to the music, for it to be again to keep the ball rolling with the drop of the music video that we worked on it for a really long time, really, really long time. We've been through COVID, we've been through wars, we've been through a tough situation to make it happen, but it's done, and we are so proud of it, and we have
a very
so
good
many
video.
People to thank. And
I really like that video, and I'm wondering, like in the U.S., like video, like MTV is not really what it was, but there are other platforms, and I'm not sure in Europe what the platforms are, other than, you know, we know the social media platforms like the YouTubes, the Facebooks, the TikToks, the Reels. With your intersection with fashion, do you have partners that you can integrate this into fashion shows, or you can integrate it into theater or other genre, other types of art, or other areas where you can connect? Because a lot of things in the U.S., people are integrating into, you know, film, TV, video games, social media, because the music industry, the state that it's in, that you have to find other ways to promote and to connect to different areas that maybe weren't the traditional areas. Do you have like an approach?
Yeah, actually, we, as you said, we have some connection, and our dream is to connect our music to cinema, to movies, and to, of course, theater and wherever, but cinema is our dream. We are working hard on it, and there's something on the way that we cannot talk about
now,
unfortunately.
Well, that's cool.
But I would like to say that our manager, Christoph Meslin, is helping us a lot with that, and also teaches us a lot about the cinema world and you know, everything related to that, because of course we are musicians, not anything else. So
yeah, that connection is
yeah, and we are connected also to the fashion world with some designer which are really the talented, and the one that is behind this project is Andrea Chieri, which is a really talented one that has his own brand. So we are already used his own clothes on our videos, and we're trying to do something else also for the future, and to try to connect our music to the fashion world, maybe.
Yeah, maybe play it at the runway, you know, play it at the at the event, you know, if you can get... Yeah, because that's the way the kind of synergy today is, like, if you can get your music into the fashion show, if you can get
also,
it, you know what I mean?
Also because we really think that some of our songs are fit perfect for the fashion world and for events like that, because electronic music is a huge component for that world. And yeah, of course, the fact that we also have this project that requires some attitude to the photo shooting, some way to dress, it's something that we think could have a huge space into that world. So we are trying to find door to knock, you know, but
yeah.
It's something a little bit difficult in the beginning.
Yeah, it's always hard because, you know, one of the things I mentioned, you know, with the Velvets is they had a connection to Andy Warhol. Like, so when there was this begin at the beginning, you know, in 66, Lou Reed and the Velvets were tied to Warhol, and they had these happenings. And so Warhol would have all these actors and dancers and models all in the place called the Factory. And the Velvets would be there playing at these happenings with, like, you know, actors and models and visuals and art all around. And I, you know, and Frank Zappa did the same thing with the Mothers of Invention in California. So there was this idea that you could mix art and models and, you know, TV and film, you know, guys who were doing it, you know, independent film directors and people doing really experimental work. And the idea that you know, it's all art, and you can kind of, you know, collide it and connect with it. And it seems to me that's a scene that's always there, and it's taking advantage of something that feels like you feel connected to it. You've talked about it in this interview, so that seems like a natural pathway for what you're doing.
Yeah, actually, in the past we also did some festivals with our videos with Effetto, especially we tried with the independent festival movies or stuff related to artists that create movies, cinema, theater, whatever. So we already tried to take a place into the underground space of that specific niche. And
we took
because we won some of those festivals, and with that video that we saw before. So that was a signal for us that, you know, we think that as soon as we're going to find the right path, it will just, everything going to be bigger than what is it now. But if we get some results now in that small underground area, we are sure that we can get some results also in the biggest one. We are working hard on this. And of course, we are trying to connect to other form of art that are straight connected to our vision. So we are not talking about, you know, maybe trying to be the soundtrack for a comedy movie, of course, but also looking for some specific form of art that are different from ours. We are trying to connect with the right one. And I guess that it's important to know.
Yeah, that's really, I think that's the forward movement of the whole industry is figuring out, because, you know, if you're kind of stuck in the past, like you're the only one channel to deliver to, but that's not the way it is. There's so many multimedia channels and places to go to and cross genre in terms of like different types of art that you can connect with, in terms of photography and, you know, in film and, you know, even like getting into gallery shows and being the music behind, you know, artists and just different things that people would have never thought of. I started working with like art therapists that wanted ambient music. And I was like, okay, I can license some of my music so it can support some other things I'm working on. So you never know where your music could go. Because it just finds different venues and like, oh, this person wants to use it for this. This person wants to use it for that. So then you get all these different opportunities and then it can keep your forward motion as like, well, I'm a recording artist and I want to play concerts. But then like maybe you can license your music in X, Y, and Z place. So you can keep going toward that goal because these other places give you the ability to do it.
Exactly. It's gonna be like an avalanche, you know. We are building the first ball of snow with like something very solid, so that everything will happen naturally and it will flow and become huge very fast.
Well, I do feel your music has that kind of launch ability. That what I've seen and what I've heard. It is very, very much into my, you know, what I like to listen to, you know, what where my head's at. But I believe that a lot of people could get into this because it's approachable. It's still innovative. And that's like the balance to do something that you want to do. That's not, you know, what everybody else is doing. And I've always, you know, as a producer, I was like, I don't want a cookie cut. I don't want a copy. Right. I want to do, if I work with somebody, I want to take the best version of themselves and push that rather than trying to mirror somebody else. And I think, you know, like when you have your own vision, then you're more able to know where you want to go. You know, it looks like you guys have a definite vision of what you believe I Am Poison is.
Yeah.
Are you going to be playing live in your in Italy or other places in Europe?
We don't have anything lined up yet because summer, especially in Italy, it's an environment where darkness tends to be put aside. So as much as we love our country, it's kind of tough to have different niches of or different environment to experiment with music and already, and summer especially it's a moment for, you know, light and
vacation, like fun stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think Berlin would be a place, or London would be more like into what you're doing at this time in the summer?
We are definitely aiming for northern East Europe with our sound, and we already received a lot of positive feedback in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that of course it's much easier when you are on the spot, when you're physically there to meet the people, to book the shows and everything, because online like internet gave us the opportunity to be everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, like this.
At the same time, you're not exactly there 100%. So we first need to build
like a scene. You build a scene.
Some kind of a wave behind us, so that we will not be worried about having to approach venues or festivals or
booking agencies that will.
It seems like a Scandinavian scene. I've talked to a lot of Scandinavian bands, you know, that have this kind of vibe. I think that would be into what you're doing. So I don't know if you would want to reach out that far, but it seems like there's a lot of different scenes in different places that you'd be surprised they would be into. Even in the US, there's certain scenes like in California and certain places within the US that has certain scenes that are more into this type of music. But yeah, I mean, it would be cool if you ever end up on the other side of the pond, in New York or
Yes,
something,
sure.
or
For sure
LA.
that there definitely are scenes, and that's why, I mean, we do what we do because we believe in the potential of it, and we know that people out there are interested into this message, and it's just a matter of putting enough of them together and create some kind of a reverberation around I Am Poison, so that we will be able to start to also deliver live performances
Yeah, if you can get on the big electronic music festivals in the Los Angeles area, that they have once time to time, or even out in the desert that they have, like a Burning Man.
yes,
Yeah, there's certain things I think would
and then
fit.
Coachella.
Coachella, yeah, well, Coachella, Burning Man. There's like the big EDM festivals, but yeah, I know some of those places are, but they have a wider palette now. There's a lot of different bands starting to show up, and it's not all just one thing. And I've always been into that idea, like why not have more people? And they have the different tents for different levels of bands. So yeah, this would be cool if once you build that scene and you build that kind of CBGB scene, where you build your own Whiskey a Go-Go scene type of thing. You build that audience that's like seeing you, and they get the hype. But yeah, but we're happy to give you the hype here, because that's what we've been doing, and we're glad you came on the
Appreciate
show. We want people to check out your website, www.iampoisonmusic.com. Now, if people go to that website, can they get your album from that website?
everything is there.
Everything's there. Your
You
merch
get
is there. Everything.
the vibe, you get the bio, you get all the links to every music store, social media. We also have a private Telegram channel where we announce and we disclose some juicy news beforehand, and also, yeah, you can reach to us from there, from email, from
Okay, do you have like an
it's our
email
website.
list, like an email list and a fan club type of thing?
Exactly, everything is there. I mean, it's
Cool.
more like a directory
Exactly.
and landing
Well,
page.
thank you again, you guys, for being on the show. I mean, I think I love to talk to musicians. That's my first love. I've expanded beyond that, and a lot of my shows are more than just talking to musicians, but my first love is always to talk to emerging and independent artists. To have a vision. You guys have a definite vision. It's really cool. I like that place that you're in, being a musician myself. And I'd highly recommend anybody that's interested in music to check out iampoisonmusic.com. I give you guys like the two thumbs up. You guys like the 5-star rating. I think people need to check out your music. I think people need to listen to it. And I think, you know, they'll find out for themselves that they need to watch where you're going, because I think you're going to be around. You may be too big to talk to me again, but thank you again for being on the show.
Thanks a lot. Thank you so
Thanks
much
for
for
having
having
us.
us. Have a great
Well,
one.
have a great day. Okay, thank you guys.
Thank you. See you.